stessa teoria del Israele ebraico. Oltre il dito Allah mi ha scritto me, gave him the gift of expression as revealed for him the noble Quran, which is a source of advice, healing, guidance, and mercy for those who have faith. The Quran contains nothing that is doubtful or crooked. It is absolutely straight. An authority and rule, enlightenment for the believer. Abundant and perfect salutation be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The person who is the best of all creation, whose nur illuminated the hearts of the living and their graves after death, whose appearance was a bounty for the whole universe. Peace be upon his descendants and companions, who are the stars of guidance and the propagators of the noble Quran. And also upon the believers, those believers who are their followers in faith. Shaykh Sadiq Hamid, before we start anything, the bayan, the kitab, we write a few words and we term it as hamd. And generally the khutbah that we read before the bayan, that is what we call khutbah ya masura. Khutbah ya masura is which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should recite. And this khutbah has come down from generation to generation. Therefore any writer, author, lecturer, orator, he also inshallah when he starts a kitab or his speech, first he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salam and durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he praises the Sahabas for their attachment to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, Shaykh Sahib, in his hamd, in his introduction, mentioned very important point. That the Quran Kareem, the Quran has been revealed for us. The Quran Kareem has been revealed for our guidance. And the Quran Kareem has been revealed for our enlightenment. And the Quran Kareem is light, nur. Quran Kareem being light, nur, meaning that in any field of life, all forms of life, the Quran Kareem will serve as a guidance for us. One point to mention, you should remember that these kitabs have been written, for example, this kitab has been written, Fazail al-Quran, which is written in Urdu, and they have translated into English. Now, every English translator is not an authority of Islam. The writer will be an authority of Islam. Shaykh Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali is an authority of Islam. A reputed authority of Islam, saint, and accepted by it. But the translator need not be an authority of Islam. So sometimes you will see that the translator, for example, in Asia, revealed for him the Holy Quran. Now, we must realize the word holy must not be attached to the Quran. Holy is not the word for the Quran. The Arabic word for holy is Mutadda. If you check the Urdu, Shaykh Sahib must have written Quran is Kareem. Quran is Kareem does not contain holy. What has happened to us that we have used the words of the Yahud and the Nasara in our speech, in our vocabulary, in our reading, in our writing, in our speaking. Inshallah, someday I will explain to you in detail that how the Kuffar and the Yahud and the Nasara, let alone they have penetrated into us by their culture and they penetrated their ideologies into us, they are now using such methods that they were to put into us the vocabulary. Their vocabulary they would put in our mouth. They say Holy Bible. So we have taken this word Holy Bible from there, we have put it into the Holy Quran. Whereas, there is no such thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not in the Quran, nor in the Ahadith of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, nowhere will you find Quran and Mutaddad. But you will find Quran and Hakim and Quran and Kareem. And this will translate as Noble Quran or Mighty Quran. So we too, we must not use the vocabulary from the Yahud and Nasara, we must use our own vocabulary. We have got our own form of life, we have got our own way of life, we have got our own vocabulary. So we should try in ourselves and our children also, that they must start using vocabulary, Islamic vocabulary. We must start using Islamic vocabulary, Salah, namaz, roza, hajj, ibadat, rab, Allah. Now they are about 60 words like that that these Yahud and Nasara have put into our perspective. Someday, inshallah, as time goes by and you like become a great, I'll explain to you details and comment on each of these words here, how they have put these words into our perspective and how they document it. The next point that I will make, that the Quran has, as stated by Shafsar, that it is a source of advice for us, it is a really guidance and mercy for those who have faith. Remember, mercy for those who are faith. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, when we are in the Quran al-Kareem, we see in Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of this. That it is hudan lil mustaqeem. That it is a guidance for the parishgad, for those who make parishgad. And for those who are steadfast, and those who make sabr, and those who are righteous and upright for righteous. Now, when we have iman on the Quran al-Kareem, then inshallah we will be able to draw benefit from that. And if we have iman on the hadith of Rasulullah and the way of Rasulullah, then we will be able to draw benefit. One important point here, I mentioned this because it's part of our lesson too, that the Quran al-Kareem is not a science book. The Quran al-Kareem is not a science book. It's no history textbook, or it's no geography textbook, or it's no geology or botany textbook. The Quran al-Kareem is for guidance, for hidayah. Now, when we view it like this, alhamdulillah, Shaykh said, how beautiful he mentioned it there. It is a source of advice, healing, guidance, and mercy for those who are sick. So, when a person goes to the moon, then you don't start running to the Quran and say, Allah, which ayat shows there the Muslims would go to the moon or the Kafirs are going to the moon. That is not the purpose of Quran. The Quran did not come to tell us here that we could reach Mars or we could reach Saturn or Pluto or we could fly in Sputnik and all those things. The Quran Kareem is a guidance for us, and it's a healing guidance for us. Why healing guidance, alhamdulillah? The word is beautiful. That person needs guidance when he's sick. Person needs people when he's sick. A person when he's sick, he needs diagnosis, then he needs guidance. Alhamdulillah, the Quran gives us this. And the Quran Kareem gives us in total guidance. It's guidance in totality. Secondly, it says it is an absolute strength and to the authority. First source of argumentation in Islam is Quran. There are four sources of argumentation. We will explain them: the Quran, the Ahadith of Rasulullah, Qiyas and Ijma. Qiyas, what we call deduction by analogy, and Ijma, consensus of opinion, as to how it goes by. I'll explain to you all these things, how we get it from the Quran. And then the Quran is the absolute authority. If a person has to bring the Quranic ayat in front and say, yes, the Quran says this, then we must close our eyes and just accept it in Amanna or Sadatna that this is true, and we just have to accept it. We cannot question the Quranic Kareem, we cannot question it. It is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the salam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Shaykh Saab goes on to say, abundant and perfect salutation be upon Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By this, by stating this, then we are bringing barakat in our discussion, in our book, in our bayan, everything. See how a person can go to start the bayan, see Ahmadu wa Nusalli ala Rasulullah. He praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Durud upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Immediately the listener knows that this person has got two fundamental things. Firstly, he respects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he has recognized the greatness and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, he has brought iman upon Rasulullah, that's why he's telling you the salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Immediately you know that this person here, he's got love for Rasulullah, that's why he's telling salam and durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's telling durood and salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown us and has taught us. The person who is the best of all creation, the person Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the best of creation. And he is the perfect of nature. All the qualities, all the best qualities of all the previous Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are inside Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the Quran Kareem, as the stories go by, and as the parables are narrated, and as the events come by, we'll show you that how the qualities of the previous Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. and various others, Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, their special qualities, and their special features, living with Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose nur illuminated the hearts of the living and their graves after the death. Living with Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the indication to the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let alone the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ashab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even today too, if we follow the light shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this world we will find peace, tranquility, and we find happiness, and we find easiness, and in the grave inshallah we will find peace and calmness, and the nur that helps us on earth will help us in the world. The guiding light that aided us and showed us the way towards salvation and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala interested us in the grave also. Whose appearance was a bounty for the whole universe. Whose appearance was a bounty for the whole universe. You know, we have to go into pre-Islamic history. That work was a condition when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came down, what was the condition then? And what was the circumstances of the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came down, what was going on? Let alone in Arabia, but in the whole world. There are books written on this. For example, if you read Umar Abu Hassan Nabi's kitab, the Islam in the world, where he described the whole world at the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came down. He describes the people in India, the people in the state of Africa, America, everywhere. What condition were they? What the political situation was? What the economic situation was? And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came down. Then you can realize the beauty and the task ahead of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how wonderfully how he fulfilled the task of inviting towards good and forbidding what he did. Peace be upon his descendants and his ashab, the companions, who are the stars of guidance and propagators of the noble Quran, and also upon those believers who are their followers in the world. Inshallah, this last four lives, when we continue from this point here, on Kitab reading, when I come back, inshallah, let's finish this. And the procedure will be very simple. Right? We will read the Kitab first. And as I explained now, I will try to just explain to the best of my ability the Kitab, and subsequently we will do some direct tafsir. Although this section which I chose, the verses of the Quran, will be also linked to the Quran. So, yeah, the night of Tuesday, inshallah, we should be spent in the in learning about the Quran Kareem, in the message of the Quran Kareem, and we will won't take too much of it. We'll try to limit it that the whole session or the whole lesson will be over within half. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the ability to be Muslims, and He has blessed us with Iman. Before we start to actually going into the tafsir of the Quran, if we are embarking on a new thing, that we are going to try to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to, what message He has got for us, then as the pattern of my ustad, the pattern of the highest predecessor, that before we start anything, then we read a small dua. And this dua will help us. You just read after me. Rabbi Asir, Rabbi Asir, ولا تؤثر ربي أثر ولا تؤثر ربي أثر ولا تؤثر يا فتاة يا فتاة يا فتاة إن شاء الله والله I will explain to you this. Basically it means that remover of difficulty makes it easy. Remover of difficulty makes it easy for us. For example, we are going to try to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, via the commentaries of the old, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, what to say us, and what message He has got from for us in the Quran. We. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is new world, difficulty. He will put it into our hearts, and He will open the words of the Quran, and we will be able to explain. Before actually starting from A'udhu Billah, the Bismillah, the Surah Fatiha, I want to spend a few lessons on about the Quran Kareem. Before we actually start the Quran Kareem, we should know something about the Quran Kareem. Then we will get a better understanding of the Quran Kareem. See, if I go directly and I start saying to you that today we are going to start, and I start explaining to you the tafsir of A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, then Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. then you are not going to really understand it. But if I could tell you certain things that are related to the Quran, which are connected to the Quran, and which will help you to, will help us to understand it. Since we have started something that we want to do something, then we should try to do it and make a good job of it. So alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has blessed us with the Kitab. He has blessed us with the Kitab, the Quran al-Kareem. The Quran al-Kareem, which has 6,666 ayahs. How we get this count? Various scholars have got various methods of counting. Various scholars. Now the accepted count of the Quran al-Kareem, as far as the ayahs are concerned, is 6,666. You may find in some books it is written 6,000, or some books it is written 6,500. So we should not be one. That person must be taking an opinion of someone who maybe when he's counting, he says these two ayahs, he took one ayah. So there is no very difference in that. Why? Because he is combining two ayahs, he says, now these two ayahs, now the ayahs, how to get one. And these are great scholars who have come down and they say, now these two ayahs, he took one ayah, I count it as one. But the general view is that it is 6,666. So one point you must realize that when I am going to discuss Quran al-Kareem, then I'm going to tackle everything. I'm going to tackle it, and you will hear about everything. Whatever I know about an ayah, or whatever I know of an aspect, whether it is related to Qadianism, whether it is pertaining to Shiaism, whether it's got to do with the Zikri Shirka, whether it's got to do with the Mu'tazilas, whether it's got to do with the Khawarij, whether it is got to do with the Kufar, whether it's got to do with the Christians, whether it's got to do with the Jews, whether it's got to do with any of the group that is existing or which existed, and if I know about it, and if I have been taught about it, I will talk to you about it so that you have a better understanding and you have a better grip of the situation and you know exactly what is happening and what is happening. Quran al-Kareem has got 30 paras and it has got 7 manzil. These 7 manzil, which you have your Quran al-Kareem, it is written manzil. How did manzil came about? That when we discuss the history of collection of Quran al-Kareem and how the Quran al-Kareem was put together, then the scholars of that age also put manzil. That a person can read from Surah Fatiha for 1 manzil in 1 day, then he can read from the 2nd manzil to the 3rd manzil and so on, and within a week he can complete the Quran al-Kareem. This to make it easy for him, and he knows that if I read 7 manzil, I've got my Quran al-Kareem, I've completed in the 7th day. So that is why the marking is there. The 30 paras also have been marked for making it easy for the Muslim as far as recitation is concerned. I will discuss this more next week, inshallah. Quran al-Kareem was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Jibreel alayhi wa sallam, and the period of the revelation was 32 years, 2 months and 2 days. This is the time which took the Quran al-Kareem, or we say the time of duration of revelation. In our childhood days we had a blanket finger, fake finger. So alhamdulillah, now research every month or every minute in the Islamic world, alhamdulillah, at this stage, people are making research. And it is our duty as scholars, as students, that we must keep up with the pace of research. Now alhamdulillah, we have come to know that the Quran al-Kareem has been revealed in 22 years, 2 months and 2 days. Quran al-Kareem has got 500 ayat pertaining to what we call laws. Laws, rules, regulations. What we term as ahkamah. Imam Suyuti Ramtullah alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah, next week I will bring the 500 ayat for you and show you how the 500 ayat deal with which aspects of life. Allama Jassar Ramtullah alayhi has written a kitab called Ahkam al-Quran, and in that Ahkam al-Quran has discussed these 500 ayat. And we have discussed the 500 ayat which pertain to the rules, regulations, and laws of man, pertaining to economic, politics, social, and dealing with them. Now, when you study Quran, you can read there are various aspects. That why does the wahi came down? Quran al-Kareem is wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why wahi came down? How this wahi came down? And What was the state of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was coming down? What are the forms of wahi when it was coming? And why the wahi must come? What's the need for the wahi? And when the wahi was coming, how it was coming? What's the passage? For example, when you would go from one place to another place, that is called the passage. When the wahi was coming, what is the passage? What route is it? Who the wahi came from? How it came? Who brought it? And the protection while the wahi was coming, and the protection when the wahi started coming. All these aspects we have to consider, we have to talk about. And then when the wahi was coming, how they collected it. When the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when the wahi came upon him, then what happened immediately after that? How it was collected, when it was collected, why it was collected, how they recorded it, who gave them the permission to record it, all we have to talk about this. And the various stages of collection. That inshallah is we are going to talk about the weeks to come. The second aspect we are going to talk about the weeks to come is the various tafsir. The various tafsir of the Quran written in Arabic, written in Urdu, written in English. Who wrote it, why it was written, when it was written. And also we will talk about translation. The Quran is written in Arabic. How the Arabic translation of it, the Urdu translation of it, and the English translation of it. Who wrote the first one, how it came, what the process of it. And I will comment also on this point, that which one is authentic and why it's not authentic. It is authentic. I will discuss all that also. And the present translation of the commentaries that are floating now in market, I will comment on that also. Inshallah. Next week, inshallah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will discuss the authentic. That tafsir, you are doing tafsir. I will define for you. What is tafsir? What is the definition of tafsir? What is the meaning of tafsir? Then there is another thing called ta'wil. What is the meaning of ta'wil? What is the definition of ta'wil? What is the link between tafsir and ta'wil? And what is the difference between tafsir and ta'wil? And who can make tafsir? Also, I will discuss what we term as tafsir being right. Self-affiliated tafsir. Self-affiliated tafsir, you and I understand what it is. That they put the Quran in Arabic in front, and they put an English translation. Then one person reads that Quran in Arabic, another person reads the English, and then say, what do you say about it, or what do you say about it, or what do you say about it, what's your opinion about it, and what do you say about it. That's what is called tafsir bil-ra'i. I will define it. In tafsir bil-ra'i, there are two. One is tafsir bil-ra'i, which is praiseworthy, and one tafsir bil-ra'i, which is not praiseworthy. I will define both for you, and I'll differentiate both for you. And the various stages of tafsir. When the Quran al-Karim was coming down, it came down upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When it came down upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he immediately explained it. He explained it to who? Sahaba ikram. When he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the dunya, then Sahaba compiled the tafsir. Who was the first Sahabi to write the tafsir? How he wrote it? When he wrote it? After him, the Tabi'in came. The Tabi'in wrote tafsir. We comment on that. And now the people are writing tafsir. We comment on that. The stages of tafsir rising and how it was done. At this moment, I shall discuss one point with you. That the time that we have been allocated, the time that we have taken, inshallah, we will run out. But I will start it today. But why the need for wahi? Why the need for wahi? First of all, wahi is divine revelation, divine inspiration, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a man wants to obtain any knowledge, then he's got three methods of knowledge. Anything he wants to know, he's got three methods. One is he uses the faculty of senses, his five senses. The second is that he uses his intelligence, his rationality. Now five senses, when he uses it, then there is a possibility there can be a defect in the five senses. And that which is defective is not conclusive. That which is defective is not conclusive. For example, see that if you got jaundice, you need to see everything yellow. And a person who's got jaundice, you cannot say that his eyesight is good. And you cannot use his eyesight as a criterion. You cannot use his eyesight as a touchstone. A person, for example, has got a heavy flu, then his sense of smell and sense of taste, they will be defective. Because then he will lose. For example, you and I also, when we sometimes are eating and we've got influenza, then these two senses are effective. So when these two senses are effective, then you cannot say that this sense is correct, you can use it as a judge. For example, a person who is not suffering from influenza, he's eating food, and a person who is suffering from influenza, he's eating food. Then you will say, the person who says, I've got no flu, and he begins to eat, you say, no, this is sour. Then you say, I will accept his opinion because he got no defect attached to his taste. But the person who got influenza, we cannot accept him because he got some defect attached to his taste. But for example, a person is going on a hot day, and on the road he sees on the tarmac, he sees water on the tarmac. That is when I see it, when you drive, you see water on the tarmac. Then when you come there, you realize this is not water, it's an illusion. So your eyes also deceive you. So that eyes cannot be used as a criterion. Understand this very well. Now when these senses are defective, for example, hearing also, that if your eustachian tube is inflated, or your tympanic membrane is separated, then you also will have difficulty in hearing. And once you have difficulty in hearing, then you cannot use it as a criterion. Understand? So the five senses are defective, you cannot make a conclusion just in the Then comes the second point, that intelligence. Intelligence and rationality cannot be used as a touchstone or a cornerstone or a yardstick, because your intelligence and your method of deduction or induction is different than mine. And you will say something and I will say something. So, by the way, where senses fail, then rationality and intelligence takes over. The limit where senses end, rationality and intelligence takes over. And where the sense, rationality and intelligence fails now. For example, why am I created? Why is the sky created? How will I please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How will I, if I do something, I will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If I do something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward me. If I do something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish me. Now all these things who do to tell us about it. Then wahi comes in. Wahi which is superior to the senses, wahi which is superior to intelligence and rationality, that comes in. That comes in to tell us, listen, man, listen Muslim, that if you do this, Allah will be happy. If you do this, Allah will be with you. And if you do this, you get so much salah. And if you do this, you will get punishment. And if you do this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you Jannah. Understand? So that is why the need for wahi for mankind, so that he is guided on this planet Earth. Even your small guarded boy, then when you employ him, then you tell him, listen, you go there and you give him a list of instructions. You do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, for the whole day. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he sent us here. He puts us on earth here and he gives us no message. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put mankind on earth and he gave him a perfect total message. And this perfect total message is in the Quran al-Kareem and in the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we Muslims, we believe in this, and our iman is on this, and our conviction is on this. So that is why we say we have to have wahi, the need for wahi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to get wahi for the guidance of mankind right up to the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to be steadfast. There is one point, that in order to benefit in anything, we have to be steadfast. Look, we have started something. More regular we are, and the more steadfast we are, and the more constant we are, that you and I will be able to understand each other. You'll be able to understand in what line I am, in how I think, and how we explain. If you have difficulty in understanding, one or two each time you'll be able to understand easily what is happening, and you'll be able to understand it very easily. But inshallah, you will be able to benefit, I will be able to benefit, because alhamdulillah, as long as you are here, and we have got a purpose to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First of all, what is our intention? That we are doing things for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do things no other reason. We are doing things so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's salam could be understood, because the fikr of the akhirah. The fikr of the akhirah comes to our heart by studying the Quran al-Kareem. When this fikr of the akhirah comes to our heart, then we will be able to change and reform ourselves, and then we will be able to see the relationship with our life, with our successes, and we will be able to see the relationship with our life, with our successes, and we will be able to see the relationship with our life.